there. The scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through verse 8. Paul says, love suffers long.
Love never gives up.
And is kind.
Love cares more for others than for self.
Love does not envy.
Love doesn't want what it doesn't have.
Love does not parade itself.
Love doesn't strut.
Is not puffed up.
Doesn't have a swelled head.
Does not behave rudely.
Doesn't force itself on others.
Does not seek its own.
Isn't always me first.
Is not provoked.
Doesn't fly off the handle.
Thinks no evil.
Doesn't keep score of the sins of others.
Does not rejoice in iniquity.
Doesn't revel when others grovel.
But rejoices in the truth.
Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth.
Bears all things.
Puts up with anything.
Believes all things.
Trusts God always.
Hopes all things.
Always looks for the best.
Endures all things.
Never looks back, but keeps going to the end.
Love never fails.
Love never dies.
Let's join together with our praise hymn. Father, we do bow before you and the great love that you have exhibited toward us. We say thank you, Father. May all that is done here this day bring honor and glory to you. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today is Valentine's Day. Look out here, some of you men, you look like maybe you forgot something about that. I'm not sure. It's also known, Valentine's Day is, by a number of other names. One of them is Singles Awareness Day. And so, we don't try to leave anybody out there on that. A friend of mine that ran a florist years ago used to call it Valoween because it was such a horrific time of getting flowers to all the right places and to the people that had ordered them in the particular time, such a short frame of time. But today, for whatever it's worth, it's February 14th and it's Valentine's Day. I hope you've all remembered it for the special people in your life. It's a day we celebrate love. But how did it become such a day as that? How did it become Valentine's Day, a day when it's the day of love? Some of the history for Valentine's Day is that it's, of course, most of you know that in the church, it's actually a church holiday. It began honoring Saint Valentine. Now, there's actually a number of of men in the early church whose name was Valentine. Yeah, that's a fairly common name in ancient Italy in that area. It was pretty common. There was a number of martyrs, number of Christian men who died professing the Christian faith in the early days of the church, and that name has been honored through the Catholic Church and the establishment of that years ago. But it's odd that nothing was ever associated about love with Valentine's Day until late in the 14th century. It came about when Geoffrey Chaucer, who wrote Canterbury Tales, wrote a poem called Parliament of Fools. That's kind of unusual, I think. But this poem, we missed something there. It's really not fools as in fools and foolishness, but it's more of the birds. It's what it's talking about, fowls, actually. The poem was written to honor the anniversary of King Richard II and Anne of Bohemia, who had been betrothed to each other to settle a war, and they were being married and bringing two nations together. In this poem, Chaucer wrote these lines: "For this was St. Valentine's Day, when every bird cometh there to choose his mate." And from that point on, somewhat incorrectly, Valentine's Day was also seen as a day in which love was expressed, and it was a day of love. In the late 18th century, it became popular in Europe, in England in particular, to send personal greetings, personal notes of love to people in their lives. By the early 19th century, greeting cards that had been printed up had become popular in Western Europe and eventually came to be popular in America in the later part of the 18th century. Early in the 19th century, or later in the 19th century. Then by the second half of the 20th century, Valentine's Day started to become like we know it right now. Their roses began to be a symbol of love and appropriate gifts to be sent to someone special in your life. Chocolates and jewelry became popular and appropriate gifts. And do you see where all this is kind of going? It's the marketing of this world, the shopkeepers and those who manufacture these goods who were supporting this and trying to get it. Valentine's Day, other than Christmas, is one of the largest days for gift buying and card sending that there is. It's a huge business in the United States alone. Over the years since the popularization of Valentine's Day, it's not just a European or an American thing, but it's spread throughout the world. Even in Muslim nations and Hindu nations, you see facets of the celebration of St. Patrick's Day, that too maybe, but wherever there's an Irishman. But you see popularizations of Valentine's Day. So much so that in places like India, the really strict Hindus, they have outlawed Valentine's Day, anything to do with Valentine's Day, because it is a Christian day, a Christian holiday in its origins, and they don't want anything to do with that. They don't want the infiltration of the Christian faith into the Hindu religion. It's even said that in some of the parks and public places in India, on Valentine's Day, if a husband and wife or a boyfriend and girlfriend are seen holding hands in public, that there are strict Hindus that have sticks that walk around looking for this and actually beat them doing that. So if you go to India anytime soon on Valentine's Day, if you go with your husband, wife, your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, you might not want to hold hands in a public place that day. In some of the Muslim nations, like Saudi Arabia, it has been outlawed completely, any facet, any symbolization of Valentine's Day. Anything in the shops or stores that has anything resembling red or a heart to it has to be taken off the shelf, because you can be punished with imprisonment and other things for exhibiting any kind of of outward display of Valentine's Day. Once again, because it's a Christian-centered and Christian-origin day. The day is it comes from the Christian faith. It's created a huge black market trade in many of the Muslim nations to buy chocolates and to buy roses and things like that and to send them discreetly to those you love and care about. A couple of facts about Valentine's Day. Typically speaking, men spend twice as much on Valentine's as women. And worldwide, over 1 billion Valentine cards are sent each year. The world today, it tells us that our love for someone is measured in the price of our gifts. We use that word love today to describe everything from how we feel about the food we ate at our favorite restaurant to the movies and TV programs we watched to how we feel about the favorite music that we listen to on our radios or iPods. But is that all that there is to love? Is it just simply a feeling, a sensation, something that pleases or brings some kind of temporary satisfaction? According to St. Paul, love is much more than a feeling. According to Paul, love is the mark. It's the measuring stick. It's the tool by which we measure a Christian. In this passage that Brenning and I read, Paul lists 16 characteristics of love. Now, I really am going to hit these really quick. He says that love suffers long or never gives up. Love is not something that quickly passes away. It's there for the long haul. It's kind. It cares more for others than for self. Love puts others first and not ourselves. It doesn't envy. It doesn't want what other people have. It doesn't parade itself. I like what Peterson says in the Message. It doesn't strut. Doesn't make itself look good. It's not puffed up. Doesn't have a swelled head. That's something easy for us to get, isn't it? It does not behave rudely. It doesn't force itself on others. Doesn't seek its own. Isn't always about me, is it? It is not provoked. Doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't have a short fuse. Love's fuse burns long and is slow. Thinks no evil. Doesn't keep up with the sins of others and those around you. Doesn't hold up and say, you know, I remember back in 1996 that you said such and such about such and such, and I'm still mad about it. Doesn't hold a grudge. Love rejoices in the truth. Peterson says, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It takes pleasure whenever truth is shared and where truth grows. It bears all things. In other words, it'll put up with just about anything. Believes all things. That doesn't mean that when you love someone, you believe whatever they say, whenever they say it, and however they phrase it. It means that you always trust God and put Him first. It hopes all things. It always looks for the best in people. It endures all things, never looks back, keeps on going till the end. And finally, love never fails. In the other translations that I looked at, it has a couple of other words that are used there instead of fails. Love never dies, love never ends. But the thing that it emphasizes is that love, agape, is the word that's used in Greek. You know, that's the Christian love. It's not the passion and the romantic eros. It's not the friendship love, the philos, that's used. But it's agape, Christian love. Love that does for others, not expecting anything in return, but giving completely. That agape never, and the word in Greek again there, is a word that emphasizes never, not once, ever. That's the literal translation of it. And then fails means to fall away, to fall apart, to diminish. Love never fails. There are three things about this love here that Paul writes about that I want to talk with briefly. Three things about this love that we find when we look at it here is that love is a balance. You know, think about that. Love is a balance. In this passage, there are 16 characteristics of love. You go through and you look at those 16 that I just read, Brennan and I read for you. There's 8 of them that talk about love from the affirmative position, and there are 8 of them that talk about it from the negative position. As it means, it says love does you. If you love, you do this. And then 8 of them say, if you love, you don't do or never do this. So love is a balance, folks. Love is not just about being smiles and happiness and cuddly all the time. Love endures through the hardest and most difficult of circumstances that we face. In Jesus, we find that kind of love. We find a love in Jesus that contains 2 key things: mercy and grace. And I've shared with y'all a number of times the definition that I have for mercy and grace. You know, in this, we have a balance. In God's love, through Christ, we have a balance of love. God's love gives us mercy, which, of course, is the negative that He's not doing. He's not giving us what we deserve. What is it that we all deserve? We all deserve judgment because we're all sinners. That's God's mercy to us. It's the first part of that balancing act of love. God does not give us what we deserve. But then on the other hand, what balances that out in love is His grace, and where God gives us what we don't deserve. He doesn't give us what we deserve, which is judgment and death. And then He gives us what we don't deserve, which is forgiveness, acceptance. It's a balance. It's a balance of mercy and grace. The second thing that we find about love is that love is an action word. It is a verb in these passages. In each of these 16 characteristics, we find action involved. Love is always on the move, constantly working. When Jesus spoke to the 7 churches in Asia Minor, He spoke to the church at Ephesus and He said, He chastised this church in Ephesus because they had left their first love, is what He says. You have left your first love. Same word, agape, there. It's not the passionate love, not the brotherly love, but the Christian love. He says to them, you've lost or you've left that first love. We can't be satisfied. We must grow. We must move forward. Just saying I love you is not enough if our actions don't back it up. And that goes with God and with others. If you tell God you love Him, then there are things you need to be doing, things that you will do that exhibit that love. If there are people that you love and you say, I love you to, well, I'll tell you what, you can't say, I love you, and in the next sentence, slap them. It just doesn't work. Those two don't match up. Love is an action word. What if Jesus had only spoken the words that are in John 3:16? What if it had only said, for God so loved the world, and stopped there? What benefit would that have been for us? If that's all that God cared about us, if God just says to us, God so loved the world, what good would that have been for us? Well, we can take that and say, you know, that's nice. I'm glad to know that. But that verse, thankfully, goes on and it says, for God so loved the world that He gave. There was action behind His love. He put action in the love that He spoke of by giving us His only begotten Son. Folks, we are called to love. We're called to love those around us, and we're called to love God. And to love them not only in words, but in the way we act. The third thing we see in this passage is that love truly does endure. It never fails. It never dies. It never ends. Can you realize this right here? Of everything that you've done in your life, the only thing that's ever going to survive beyond a few years past the grave is the love that you have exhibited in this world. The love that you have shared is the only thing that's going to survive many years past the grave. Love is the only eternal thing of our mortal lives. The things that we've built in our lifetime, they're going to crumble. Somebody's going to tear them down and rebuild if things last long enough. Whatever we save, when we leave it to our children or to their children or our aunts, our nieces or nephews or whoever, it's going to be spent and gone. The things that we hid in this life, that we put up that nobody else know about it, the things that we hid, they're going to decay and rot. But the love that we have practiced will never die because it transforms and changes the people that we've loved. And it'll stay with them and live within them as long as people are still walking along the face of this earth. And it'll be passed on in love to others by them. Love does not come and go. It endures through good and bad. Now, on this Valentine's Day, I want you to just close your eyes, if you would. And I want you to just think about this kind of a paraphrased prayer that I'm gonna offer. It's a prayer that's paraphrased from Paul's words from the scripture I've used this morning. And I want you to make it personal and just pray silently yourself as I pray it. Father, I'll never give up. I will care for others more than myself. I don't want what I don't have. I won't strut around like I'm more important than others, and I won't become conceited or swollen in my head. I won't force myself or my beliefs on others. I will not put myself first. I will not fly off the handle and be provoked and provoke those around me. I won't keep score of other sins. I've got enough to worry about on my own. I won't enjoy it when others fall, when others sin. I will take pleasure in truth wherever it shows itself. I will put up with all things. I will trust you always. I will always look for the best. And I will never look back at the past and the mistakes and failures that I have been a part of. But I will keep going steadfastly to the end. And Lord, I will never allow love to die in my heart or my life. Amen. Now, when you get home today, I want you to open up your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 there. And to whoever's important to you, your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your children, whoever it is, and however many they are, I want you to read those characteristics out there. And I want you to share that love that you have with them. Do this not because it's Valentine's Day, not because it's a way to get out of forgetting that it was Valentine's Day. Do it because of what Paul says in the end of this chapter, chapter 13. Paul says that there are things in this world that there are things in the world that we could do. There are gifts that we could use that would be great. But he says, do this because the best of these is love. Who do you love today? And how deep does it go? Will it endure? only if you love in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. It was love in action. Go forth into the world and love in action. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this very day, for Your presence, and for Your great love for us. Lord, may we allow that love to shine. May we allow that love to be seen in a very visible way to all the world. Lord, we thank You for Jesus' love for us. May we rest assured in that eternal hope that we have a place with Him. Thank You, Father. In Jesus we pray.